this morning is Luke chapter 1, and I'll be reading from verse 26 to verse 45. This Advent season, we'll be reading through the Christmas story as told by Luke. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a young woman engaged to a man who was named Joseph of the house of David. The young woman's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am not yet married?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child who will be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was once barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard her greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord." These are our sacred stories.
Thank you.
We don't often think of the birth narratives from Matthew and Luke as distinct stories. We imagine them, tell them, sing them, create them in small nativity scenes as one story. We put the wise ones from Matthew right next to the shepherds in a manger from Luke and move on to add more tinsel to the tree without another thought. I wonder, though, if this year we might pause for a moment, if we might consider Luke and leave Matthew for another time. I wonder if we might allow the story to come alive for us anew. Luke tells us from the beginning that he wants to create an orderly account. He calls us Theophilus, friend of God, and notes that he wants us to know the truth concerning Jesus. And then he weaves a story with few facts, but a story full of truth. Luke begins not with Jesus, and not as Matthew does with a genealogy. Luke begins with an angel visit. Not the one you're thinking of, not the angel visit to Mary. Luke begins with Zechariah. In the days of King Herod of Judea, he writes, there was a priest named Zechariah, which is to say that in the days of oppression and occupation by Rome, there was a priest named Zechariah. While on duty and burning incense in the sanctuary, an angel appeared to Zechariah. Zechariah was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers have been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." Zechariah has a few questions about how this could possibly be true, and for his insolence, he's not able to speak again until John is born. Zechariah goes home, Elizabeth conceives, and our story moves on to another angel visit. This time, it is Mary who receives unbelievable news. While she has just as many questions as Zechariah, she maintains her powers of speech and even song. The angel shares Elizabeth's news, and Mary, pregnant with joy for her cousin, confusion and willingness for herself and Jesus, Mary sets off to visit Elizabeth. In those days, Luke says, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Mary left Nazareth in Galilee. She will return to Nazareth after her visit with Elizabeth, and then Mary and Joseph will travel together when, as Luke has it, in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And so Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the city of David called Bethlehem because he was descended from the house and the family of David. So in Matthew, they already live in Bethlehem. They flee from Bethlehem to Egypt and then reside in Nazareth on their way home. In Matthew, they are in their own home. It is to their home that the wise ones come and visit. In Luke, Mary and Joseph arrive exhausted from their journey and are turned away from the inn, sent out back to the stable with the animals. Imagine if we went with Matthew for our nativities. We'd set up a cute little apartment that Mary had been working on for weeks to get just right for baby Jesus. Maybe a justice-themed nursery with a lion and lamb mural. In Matthew, the angel visits Joseph, not Mary. Mary doesn't even have a speaking role in Matthew's Christmas pageant. For Luke, Mary speaks with the angel, and then without any mention of Joseph at all, she heads for a visit with her cousin Elizabeth. And what a visit they have. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord. Elizabeth intuits the entire Christmas story in one greeting from Mary: joy and fulfillment. For Luke, the story is focused around the women. As Ben Worthington writes, it is Elizabeth and Mary, not Zechariah and Joseph, who are first to receive the message of Christ's coming, who are praised and blessed by God's angels, and who are the first to sing and prophesy about the Christ child. Luke doesn't leave the women in the manger tending the children and the animals. No, in Luke's gospel, we read of women disciples and women's roles in Jesus' resurrection. And then in Luke's second volume, the Acts of the Apostles, we learn of the prominence of women in the early church. Here, Luke 8. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also women: Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out; Joanna, the wife of Cusa; the manager of Herod's household, Susanna; and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. And so we know from the Gospel of Luke that there were women disciples, that women often funded the kingdom movement. We know that they were involved in every aspect of Jesus' ministry. Rebecca West said, "Feminism is the radical notion that women are disciples too." Jesus challenged the conventional patriarchy of his culture. Jesus depended on the ministry of women. He was ministered to by women, and he ministered alongside women. Jesus was a refugee. His skin was dark brown. He was surrounded by women and men as he went about including all those who had been excluded. And before Jesus did any of this welcoming and including, before he began his ministry, he was conceived and grew in the womb of Mary. The Christmas story tells us that God chose to make God's home in the womb of an actual woman, a real flesh and blood body. A very human Mary is startled by the presence of the angel. So were Gideon, Jacob, Jonah, the shepherds in Bethlehem. So was Zechariah. They, like Mary, question the angel in wonder, doubt, and even resistance. "How shall this happen to me?" Mary asks. This question is not meek and mild. It's not passive. Many women in biblical stories appear in domestic settings. Sarah is in her tent baking cakes. Rachel is drawing water out of the well. Bathsheba is taking a bath. Martha is fussing around in the kitchen. The woman who lost a coin is sweeping the house. But with Mary, there's no evidence of any domestic work on her part. We never find her cooking or cleaning or washing up. What we find her doing over and over is traveling on journeys that involve risk and an element of danger. The biblical evidence suggests that Mary loved adventure. Traveling alone, like every prophet before her, she sets out on her first journey to her cousin Elizabeth's house to sing her song of justice, of the mighty brought low and the humble exalted. There will be many more journeys in Luke for Mary: to Bethlehem, to Jerusalem when Jesus is 12, to Cana to instruct Jesus on the first miracle, to Jerusalem when he is crucified. Mary knows that for having a child out of wedlock, she could be stoned for adultery. At the very least, she could be rejected by Joseph, her parents, her village. She could spend the rest of her days in even deeper poverty, struggling to keep herself and her child fed outside of the safety of marriage and community. Elizabeth must know all this too, yet she does not greet Mary out of fear of what might happen. She greets Mary in joy. I think perhaps we've grown too familiar with the story we've conflated from two narratives, and that in our familiarity, I fear we've forgotten to consider the meaning. This story has something to tell us, something about joy, something about willingness to smuggle God into the world, something about who's included in the realm of God's love. In these Advent weeks, we have the opportunity to hear the wild and glorious story again, that God made home, first in woman's womb, and then in swaddling clothes, and then among us and with us, walking and talking and eating and laughing and crying. What does this mean? His mother tells us that the incarnation means that things are going to change. Oppression will give way to justice. The high and mighty will be humbled, and the poor, the unmarried woman, will give birth to the Prince of Peace under threats of violence. The high and mighty will be humbled, and a poor unmarried mother will give birth to the Prince of Peace under threats of violence. This is what the Christmas story tells us. Meister Eckhart writes, "We are all meant to be mothers of God. What good is it to me if this eternal birth of the divine takes place unceasingly but does not take place within myself? And what good is it to me if Mary is full of grace, if I am not also full of grace?" We are all called to be mothers of God, called to follow in the way of brave, prophetic Mary. May we make our Advent journey together, joined with each other and with Mary on this path of justice and joy. Amen.